It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here!
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. It's another great morning. It's a lot cooler here in Phoenix, Arizona. Ye freaking ha, man. I'll tell you. You know, it's like, I guess if you were a researcher in Antarctica, you're waiting until you saw the glimmer of the sun. Hey, thanks. I already got a water, man. Jet takes such good care of me. You know, imagine, you know, someone that devoted to freedom that, you know, wants to just help get the word out and so on. And he does his own things and stuff too. Everybody does their own things here. I'll tell you what's going on. Today's 9/11. We'll talk about it a little bit. You know, you probably heard all the stuff back and forth and details and everything. And I'll give you a different kind of fresh perspective from this libertarian thing I keep going on about. Because when this happened, we've been through this before. You know, we had the 93 World Trade Center thing. We had Ruby Ridge and Waco and Oklahoma City bombing and the militia scare kind of, you know, ooh, here comes the bad guy kind of. We found out one guy with a floppy hat at a protest. Okay. Camo. He had boots on. So this is, you know, we see the transition into a police state, and they have to have, you know, excuses or reasons or distractions and justifications and becauses and whatever. And a lot of times they don't have to convince you. It's got to confuse you. They just got to dazzle you. You know, it's like a flash of light. It's like a flash grenade. Boom. Whoa, what was that? And then all of a sudden they're doing all kinds of stuff during the mayhem. You know, this is what happens. This is how they do it. It's how they've always done it. You want to know who the secret they, them, those are? You know, it's real simple. Those won't be left alone. Those won't leave them alone. And the guys won't leave you alone. They got their little secret handshake club, you know, and what do they know? They've known. You know, it wouldn't surprise me. You know, they talk about the Illuma, whatchacallits, and all that sort of stuff. A lot of validity to this. I mean, yeah, but if it wasn't them, it'd be somebody else in line wanting their turn to rule the planet. So let's imagine that you have a group of people that had thousands of years of experience dealing with human beings. And they were called, Egyptian pharaohs. Got their little pyramid thing going on. What do you think that they'd do? You know, they'd write it down. They had language. They're going, you know, first you do this, second you do this, third you do this. And you think that little secret of how to control millions of people would kind of just, you know, go away? Heck no. They got that, you know, they keep passing that on down to somebody, you know, and then more than one person gets it. And then a whole bunch of people got it. And now we know the secret. We just flash grenade people and then do all kinds of weird stuff. Well, that's what's going on. We just got to evolve. We got to come outside of that. We got to put ourselves above the system, not part of the system or try and change the system or be in the system or control the system, influence the system. Screw the system, okay? I'm just, you know, stop. Get off the plantation, man. Free your mind. You know, that's why I like that movie, The Matrix. You know, there's so many good references in there. And he said, "Look, man, I'm just trying to free your mind. I opened the door. You know, there it is. You got to walk through. What are you going to do? Push you? You know, that's not going to solve anything. So we try and help you. Now here we have a whole bunch of people from the left and the right and the, you know, the Greens and the 9/11 truthers and all kinds of stuff here making DVDs. They're going to go all these different things. I was on Mike Malloy's show last night. We'll play some of that. And with Brad Friedman, and he's going, "Well, Ernie, you're playing right. You're one of them." I'm like, "Really? They create a nice big crowd for us so we can pass out stuff? Okay. Didn't even cost us anything, hardly." So we're doing that. And right now, when we come back, Drew Phillips, videographer here, is in New York with We Are Change. And he's going to tell us what's going on live right now on 9/11 in New York City. We'll bring that to you when we come right back.
There are those that just want to be left alone.
and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Yeah, welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, each and every weekday, Monday through Friday. That's what weekday means. 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. here in Phoenix, Arizona from BEA, beautiful freedomsphoenix.com studios. That's freedoms with an S, Phoenix, P-H-O-E-N-I-X.com on the line. I got Drew. Now, Drew Phillips is a videographer here. He's the man. When it comes down to we're doing video and using the studio and making and editing and stuff like that, you know, we have 4409 Shelton's got his own thing. He kind of does stuff. And then Drew's kind of, you know, over the whole thing. He just kind of gets a bird's eye view of everything. And he's our expert on this kind of stuff. And he is, you know, one of the head honcho guys at We Are Change Arizona. And of course they have a We Are Change event in New York City, and he wanted to go. So we're like, yeah, man, we're gonna send you out there on the condition that you talk to us. So talk to us. Tell us what's going on, man.
Hey, Ernie. Well, after 8 years of fighting the machine, we still here.
Well, hey, you know, I'm really interested in the kind of people that you're meeting, because, you know, this We Are Change thing, man, this is citizen journalism gone amok. You got young guys with video cameras everywhere. Bad guys don't like that.
No, they don't. And everybody's holding a video camera. I don't see anybody without a video camera or a camera that takes video or their cell phone that takes video. Everybody's making sure we document everything, and if anything goes awry or those bad guys show up, we'll make sure we get video of it and keep everything safe and peaceful. And so there's a lot of video going on, and I'm down here at Ground Zero right now, sitting in a subway station thing trying to keep out of the rain. It started pouring pretty bad now. So we're down here. There's about 300, and we've been out here since 8 a.m. this morning. And things are wrapping up now, and I think everyone's tired of sitting in the rain. So things are going to move, and there's some big events tonight with some speakers and some more events tomorrow. And we were out yesterday marching all over the city looking for Mayor Michael Bloomberg. We're in front of the CNN building trying to get on TV, and we started going down to the CFR building. And, you know, the cops were real nice, and we were marching around doing our thing, trying to talk to people, and a lot of information. I brought some DVDs. Everybody's got DVDs and flyers, and just talk to people. You know how we do it, and just get out there and try to share this information. And there's a real positive response from a lot of people that I've seen. Not too many people screaming and yelling at us this morning.
Very cool. Well, I know where Bloomberg is. He's at the U.S. Open, the tennis match. So I'm on TV.
I was told he met with, Warren Buffett yesterday in some synagogue. I wasn't with that group. They broke away and tried to go, you know, give him a little muck and try to confront him. And I think they got him running into his limo and just, you know, said, "Hey, Mayor Bloomberg, why don't you advocate for the first responders?" And, you know, I'm sure he had nothing to say about that. But,
you know, that was one thing that was interesting about the 9/11 issue with the what's the guy's name that kind of started We Are Change, or the big guy in New York there, that young guy?
Luke Radowski, 19-year-old guy. He's probably 20-something now.
Well,
getting moved along by the cops. But, a lot of young guys. There's a 16-year-old activist out here named Robert. Guy, you know, wanted to wear his 9/11 Truth T-shirt in his school photo, and he put his shirt on, and they photoshopped it out. And so he came out. So a lot of young guys, 19 years old, and a lot of young people out here, and a lot of older people. But, you know, everybody from all walks of life, all political divides.
You know, the one thing that was his, that young guy you're talking about, his main thing was he knew people that were first responders that were abandoned, you know, their health. They, you know, were told lies about what was in the air and how, you know, that was really his motivation. And as he goes to the mayor and he's like, hey, you know, word up, man. You guys going to take care of this? I think he was also in Giuliani's case there for a while, wasn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the main focus, is that, you know, we're here to advocate for the first responders and the victims' families. And the first responders really got the shaft on this deal, and the government doesn't seem to care to take care of them, or at least offer any kind of assistance or medical, you know, aid. And, you know, we know that. That's not what government does. So, you know, we're just out here trying to talk to people and let them know that, you know, this is for the victims and the families and for the first responders.
Well, you know, tell me about the contacts. You know, how many states are represented there? You know, this is, well, tell me first, give me the definition of what it is that you're attending. What is going on?
This is the 9/11/09 Real Change Conference, an international We Are Change event. And I talked to a guy last night who was from all the way from London. There's people from California, Colorado, Chicago. I've talked to We Are Change chapters and just people who maybe don't associate with We Are Change from Florida, all over the country. I've talked to people, and so they're billing it as an international event, and it sure is.
Do they know who you are, or Freedom's Phoenix? They kind of got a bead that we've been out here doing some stuff?
Oh, yeah. You know, everybody kind of likes to swap war stories, and, you know, you let them know where you're from, and they say, oh, yeah, I saw your video. And, you know, so there's a lot of camaraderie, and everybody is excited to network and talk to different people from other parts of the country and get their perspective.
You know, I'm glad that this is going on. And one thing that's really of interest to me, I'm not there. You got to tell me, what's the attendees that are the activists and the videographers and such? What's their average age about?
I'd say the average age is 20 or 22, maybe. Like I said, there's a number of young people, you know, under the age of 20 and the 16-year-olds, and then there's some older. But a lot of the you know, I'm looking at the guys now. It's my age and younger. I'm 28, but. You know, a lot of 22, 23, 24-year-olds.
So you're the grandpa of the event?
No, I wouldn't say that. There's some older than me. But, this is a youth movement. And that's one reason I think I got involved with it is because it was my peers.
You know, and that's last night, we'll play some clips here in a little bit, but I was on Mike Malloy's show with Brad Friedman guest hosting, and, the thing that I really wanted to emphasize to him is that, you know, this is a cross-section, you know, this whole movement is, he's so worried about, well, the mainstream press says, and so I'm like, wow, Brad, unplug, man, it has nothing to do with them, and that's what they're so worried about, is that these young guys coming in with, you know, high quality video capacity in their freaking BlackBerry, you know, is out there mucking up the plans of the big bad guys. And I don't know. Has there been discussions about what the end game might be about curtailments on First Amendment? I mean, they're arresting people for taking pictures just about anywhere, you know. So I'm wondering what's the war stories on that. They feel that the hammer's starting to come down on them recording stuff.
No, actually, the cops have been really nice, and they're surprisingly.
No. I don't mean there. I mean where they're from.
Oh no, I've heard some stories of some guys where they're from in Chicago. One guy was telling me the cops are really getting on their case, and they don't seem to realize that if you're in a public area, you can film all day long as you're on a public site. And so, yeah, I've heard a few stories of people saying the cops are coming down on them and not letting them film and just take photographs. And apparently passing out information is, just flyers and magazines is a crime now.
Well, there in New York, you're saying that the officers there are they pretty just detached and, rolling their eyes and whatever, move along. And so like just now, you had an officer come up to you and say, move it, boy, start walking.
Well,
I mean, why? What's going on?
I was in the subway station trying to find a quiet corner and get out from the rain, and I guess if I wasn't getting on the train, I had to go back outside, so I'm walking around outside now near Building 7 right here at Ground Zero. But they've been real good. Yesterday we had a police escort. We were marching around in Manhattan, and, there were a few times where they said, well, no, you can't go there, you can't go here, but the organizers of the event, they worked it out with them, and they said, we want to go down to Bloomberg's house, and they said, okay, as long as you go single file and don't block the sidewalk and pedestrian traffic, you're okay. And they had, the cops and their little motor scooters and little cars stopping traffic. So it wasn't permitted, but we were allowed to do our march and our demonstration, and the cops were there to protect our rights and allow us to do that. And, they kept an open dialogue, and they were really respectful of our right to assemble.
No permit?
No permit.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. You didn't have a permit. In New York City, no less.
We don't need no stinking permit.
I know, man. And it's only the young guys that do it. The older guys, they don't get a permit. They won't do it. The RNC was there. I remember the only gathering that there was at Central Park that didn't have a permit. And you had to, Justice for Whatever guys were trying to get a permit. They wouldn't give it to them. Well, I guess we can't do it. In the Central Park, the only people that didn't have a permit and didn't get arrested were the libertarians. And they had black shirts saying, I don't need no stinking permit. So they go, you know, we're not going to mess with these guys. We'll arrest everybody else, but not the libertarians. That's just the way it works, man. Well, I'm glad you got to go and you're having fun. You're getting video for us, right? Going to do something up cool?
Absolutely. We got a lot of good video. And like I said, there's two events, one tonight and tomorrow night, where the speakers and some of the victims and the first responders or who are speaking out about this are going to be. And so I think there'll be some interesting presentations. Richard Gage, the architects and engineers, will be here. And, you know, a lot of the young guys and activists and, like I said, first responders and these people will be at these two events. And then later, Saturday night is a big hip-hop concert. And as Jet can tell you, this has become a cultural movement, and, you know, it's embedded in the music, and it's part of the culture now, so I'm really excited for the Saturday night hip-hop show and hear some of these guys who are rapping about the truth.
Wow, man. It is. It's a generational thing. Yeah, it's not my debt, you know. Make sure you push that. It's not my debt.com, you know, this youth thing. Well, you know, that's one thing that on the we'll play some of the segments after we get done, you know, from my thing with Progressive Radio, but their big concern is they're more concerned about, you know, the same paradigm, the high-end media, kind of what CNN says stuff, and I kind of think that they're missing where the real power is, and it's this next generation. One thing of interest to me, has anybody talked about Sybelle Edmonds' testimony? I heard some of the stuff last night, her video. She's naming names. She's like, you know, Speaker of the House is a corrupt, bought-off, bribed SOB. You know, anybody talking about Sybelle Edmonds' stuff?
Oh, absolutely, because that's some real, you know, damning evidence there.
Hey, Drew, we're coming up against the end. I want to talk about the Sybelle thing and what you guys have heard. Can you hold on for a little bit through the break?
Sure.
Okay, we'll go ahead and get back to Drew, because this is interesting. The lamestream media isn't saying a word about an FBI translator. We'll be right back.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Come, you masters of war. Here that build the big guns. Here that build the death planes. Here that build all the bombs. Here that hide behind walls. Here that hide behind disks. I just don't want you to know I can see through your masks.
Yeah, let me tell you who sees through them. You know, children, young people, kids, preteens, teenagers, you know, they start that question authority thing. And if you don't have good answers and they just go, a lot of times they just know, you know, you're in school. I remember junior high and everything. You ask a question, you can tell when somebody's BSing you, you know, the mandatory youth indoctrination camp leader, you know, sitting there going blah, blah, blah. I'm going, oh, I get it. You don't know everything. And when you don't, you'll just lie. Okay, next. You know, so now the next generation, those born after 1980, came of age in the mid-90s along with the truth button, the internet. Yeah, of course, there's a bunch of crap out there. You know, I'm guaranteed crap in the schools. You know, so I'm like, can I have another source of information? Well, I saw it on the internet. That's nothing. I'm going, you know, it's something. It's a line. It's a thread. It's all about credibility. And we understood what was going to happen. We understood that the internet was going to provide one other thing that a lot of the bad guys, you know, didn't anticipate would have as big an impact. It was going to provide an opportunity for anyone to have credibility greater than the lamestream media, the media so last century. When you have, I don't care if you're 9 years old and you got videotape from your phone of a policeman kicking, beating the crap out of somebody with handcuffs and their hands behind their back. I don't know. Well, only a 9-year-old took that video. It doesn't count. Really? You know, I'll determine that. You know, you just give me information. I'll decide. And what's happened is now you have a gathering of these young men and women in New York City. We Are Change Conference, whatever. What's the title of it, Drew? What are they calling it?
Real Change Conference, an international We Are Change event, 9/11/09.
I'm sorry, you were cut up. Real Change, is that what they call it?
Real Change Conference, an international We Are Change event. And it is international, but it is. It's a lot of young guys, and you're right, Ernie. These guys don't watch that. They watch YouTube. They get their stuff from the internet. They don't even bother to watch the lamestream media anymore.
You know, that's one thing that they say. You know, Brad Friedman, you know, I like Brad Blog. You know, he and I overlap on a lot of election fraud stuff, and we've known each other for years, from my years over to Air America and everything, and we're good friends. But the thing is that he's still locked into this lamestream media thing, and he's all upset that Sybil Edmonds and her testimony and such is not being picked up when you've got an FBI translator that was there listening to archived wire taps of the Turkish government and embassy and different Turkish thing, because she speaks Turkish and Farsi. And what happened, she was there listening to bribery and taking money and congressmen doing bad stuff for bad people and all this. And it was it Hassard or whatever? You know, the Speaker of the House. These guys should be going to jail, and the lamestream media is avoiding it like the plague. And I want to know what they've been saying about it there.
Oh, yeah, no, Sybil Edmonds is a hot topic out here, because everybody knows how damning that information is and what she's saying and coming forward with. So, you know, when the young guys start engaging in a conversation with someone who doesn't know, you know what we're about, these are some of the, you know, we try to go for the best evidence we've got, and the fact that you've got an FBI translator coming forward pointing fingers, that says a lot, and the people who haven't heard this information, you know, that's going to give them something to think about.
And what is your conclusion, or what are people saying about the traditional media not covering such an explosive issue? I mean, why do they think that is?
Well, it's funny. With some of the people that, you know, aren't with this group, they say, well, why isn't the media covering it? And all you have to do is turn back and look at them and say, do you really think the media is there to report on the truth? And they have to kind of step back and admit, well, you're right. The media, you know the media lies, but they don't want to believe that this they'd lie about something this big, or that they'd lie about something this important. So there's a mental block there. They know the media lies, but for some reason it's too big for them to believe that the media would lie about something like 9/11.
Well, you know, a lot of people are like that. Heck, even Jet, man. You know, when 9/11 happened, yeah, let's go get some ARABs, you know, kind of. And as time goes on, you just kind of, wow, man, is it really that bad? And then you have a bunch of us, you know, experienced libertarian activists back here. We're like, yeah, welcome to our world, man. We've known this for decades. It is so much worse than you realize. And that's one thing that they're trying to do, is they really want to put this left-right thing. And if you go high enough up on the power pyramid, you find it's the same people controlling both sides. Is that kind of a common theme there, or do they still think it's a left-right thing?
Oh, no. Well, the activists here, are very aware of the left-right paradigm. And very, you know, I tell them I'm a libertarian, or I lean libertarian, and they say, that's even still in the mold. You got, you know, they want to be independent of all of that. They want to get completely outside the boxes. And, you know, so the left-right paradigm is a big talking point up here, and everybody knows that that's one of the key things, is fighting with each other is how they keep us, you know, pitted against our fellow man instead of against, you know, the real man.
Oh, that's right. Not against the fellow man, against the real man. Right on.
Well,
what,
right,
are they,
Ernie,
what are they chanting? What are you chanting? What are they chanting? What are they chanting?
9/11 truth now, and first responders first. Could you hear them?
Yeah, I can hear them. Hey, man, thanks for being there. We look forward to the video. Good job, Drew.
All right, Ernie, we'll talk to you later.
All right, man. You know, this is, we here at Freedom's Phoenix, we're just, you know, we have all the resources of, you know, the government. We just have dedicated people. You know, it takes a few bucks to send somebody there, come back, got friends that he stays with, doesn't cost that much. You know, so they're going to have to do something else. They're going to have to shut down traveling abilities. Think about it.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Independence of me, Ernest Hancock from Phoenix, Arizona, and Freedoms with an S, freedomsphoenix.com studios. Now, we're looking at the stock market and so on. Oh, yeah, stock market. Oh, 96, 97. It's going to go through the roof like I care. They keep changing. You know, that's one thing I didn't know until, you know, just a year or two ago, or not too long ago. that the Dow Jones is just top 30 industrial stocks. I mean, it used to be actual industry, you know, like General Motors and, you know, aluminum and steel and stuff like that. You get down the raw materials because that gives you a good look at what is coming in the industry, all industries, because you're dealing at the raw base materials. Then you got the S&P 500, which is a much wider, you know, a little closer to the consumer level of what's going on. But Dow Jones, they keep like top 30, and they keep changing. You know, you don't know that. You'll sit there and you know, GM, you know, they're nothing, they're gone now. You know, or this one, we'll add this one, and then all of a sudden you're seeing it's all computer companies, or they may even be given the stocks of a company that has the majority of their production overseas. The heck does that have to do with the industrial complex here? So, you know, wow. But we're looking at, keep an eye on that and see where that goes. So that's getting ready for a fall. What they're doing is the little programs and what they got. Yeah, you know, trending, this, that. Here's what your program says, and we gave it to you. You know, you got the, you know, the Price Waterhouse and the Charles Schultz and or Schwab, and you have all these, you know, whatever guys. And they sit there. And they'll say, use our program. See, it says here buy and here sell and here. And they wouldn't manipulate that to get you to do what they want. No, they wouldn't do that. So what happens is you have these programs and these whatever criteria that they wind up creating, and they give it to these pension managers and so on. And now, oh, yeah, go back in, back in. So whatever's left, they're dumping back into the stock market again. Hello, they're going to take it away. Is this like rocket science? Please, it's corruption. It's a bank robbery. And they're going to do it as much as they took last time. They're going to do it again. And everybody's just sitting by and going to let them do it. Just going to let them do it. They say, thank you for playing. You know, where's your power? Where's your power? I'll tell you what your power is. Stop playing. You know, don't give, you know, go get, you know, something you can hold. Get, you know, big giant cases of toilet paper. You know, the toothpaste, tampons. And you're gonna be a hero. You got feminine napkins and stuff. You know, when things go, that's right. You're gonna gold mine there. Come see me, all the menstruating women, at least of childbearing age. That guy might be, you know, have his own harem. You know, just for that. You think I'm kidding? This kind of stuff. I tell you what, you got the guy that's got the can of beans when nobody does? Oh, it's like in the, you know what they say, in the land of the blind, the one-eyed man is king. You know? Well, the guy that's got beans is king when, you know, nobody's got nothing. So this is why, that's why we got chickens. Six chickens backyard, man. Buck, 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 buck. I got more eggs than I know what to do with. Now, what we do is we share them with the friends, and we got a garden. It's about time here. In fact, you know, the summer just beats the crap out of a garden here, but it's about time to plant again. We plant within a couple of months, man. I'm going to be hip deep in all kinds of veggies. This is what you guys need to be thinking about. Now, you look at a lot of things. People are starting to take assets and, you know, fill up their safes and gun safes and under their mattresses and whatever. And, you know, we got the gun show, the Crossroads of the West, big gun show here in Arizona this weekend. Tonight, I go up to Prescott, Arizona to do a 9/11 speech. They asked me to come up there months ago. You know, I committed to go do this with them. And then tomorrow on the 12th, they have something down at the state capitol with the AstroTurf guys, you know, from the Republicans and the Democrats and all that. And it has one thing, you know, the Democrats last night on progressive radio, they were saying, well, Ernie, it's all, you know, it's just fake, you know, the AstroTurf. Yep. On both sides. Are you kidding me? You got the unions busting in, the Obamunists, you know, coming in doing whatever they're doing. And then you got the other side, and it's just a game they play. It's this back-forth thing. And you go high enough on the pyramid that goes on up from both sides of the argument, and it's the same people. Hello? But you know what's good is these young guys know it. They know it. And they'll spend enormous amounts of money and propaganda trying to convince you that that's not so. It's us versus them. And these kids, they don't even watch that. You know, Wolf Blitzer who? Sean Hannity what? They don't care. Combs, yeah, whatever. They, you know, blah, blah, blah. Anybody that really had anything to say, you start questioning, they're gone. Oh, I remember that right after 9/11, they brought on Phil Donahue. There's a trusted voice from back in the day. I mean, he's liberal and got his own problems, but, you know, he came out and he just, you know, let's actually get the boys on. Let's have a debate. Let's get to, you know, both sides. Let's, you know, do actual interviews. Let's have a position. And what was he? I think it was MSNBC. But he comes out highest rated during his time slot, gone. Boom. Later. Jesse Ventura, they had him booked to come up, and MSNBC paid him for 2 years without him being on the air, decided not to put him on because he was going to say what he wanted. They said, well, we need you, and he goes, nope, ain't going to happen. So they go, oh, well, we're not going to let you on the air. He goes, okay, pay my contract. So he couldn't go anywhere else and say it, but they paid him not to talk there. Well, right now, he was contracted to do some kind of a conspiracy thing. You know, where's that? Now, is he doing it? What's it? Go ahead and turn it on. He's doing it where?
Yeah, he's got a – it was a development deal that he had. A show was pitched to him about, you know, proving or debunking certain conspiracy theories. It was originally offered to Alex Jones. Alex Jones declined, and then Jesse Ventura picked it up.
Now, well, who's he doing it for? Is there True TV or something?
Yeah,
or?
You know, I think that was...
Has the first episodes come out yet?
No, not yet. It's still almost. It's getting there. Yeah. I don't have cable. I don't know. I've over there.
When it actually comes out, then I'll you know, we'll see. Yeah, because that's what happened before with him. And what they did is they said, nope, yeah, and you can't talk to anybody else. You're under contract. And he goes, cool. He went down, built a house down on, he calls it the, you know, the frogman thing in Spanish. I can't remember what it is because he was a Navy SEAL. And he's out there learning to surf. He's totally off grid. It's all solar and everything. And he has this nice home on the beach out in the middle. He's like 20 miles from a near paved road. And he goes down there and he says, and he told me, I was talking to him when he was here in Phoenix. And he said, he goes, yep. I call that my. I almost called it, you know, Casa de la MSNBC because they paid for it. So I'm right on, Jesse. You know, so the thing is that, you know, to get the truth out, that's just not going to happen, man. It's just not going to happen. And they're going to twist it and turn it and whatever. And I tell you what, the thing that surprised them, they are so much style over substance. You know, they did a thing. Excuse me. They did a thing on The Daily Show with Jon Stewart I thought was poignant. I mean, it's crude and rude and all that kind of stuff, of course, but this is what they did. They had a news segment that one of the girls, Samantha Bee, she gives it, you know, she called it NILF, all right? You know, like you have MILF, you know, moms I'd like to, you know, fornicate with, okay? And she called it NILF, news I'd like to fornicate with. And the point she was making is she would bring up, well, if you want this kind of seasoned, you know, mature, good-looking, hot woman thing, you go to Fox, you know. They're kind of like that late 30, early 40 thing, you know, looking good. And if you want that really young kind of thing, you go to, I don't know, it was MSNBC or CNN. And she's doing news I'd like. And the point that she was making is it's all flash. It's all style over substance. It's all cleavage. Has nothing to do with getting really news transmitted to anybody. So I'm like, yeah, amen, sister. That's exactly what's going on. So you have them doing that along with the big giant spinning in logos and F-15 fighters going by and, you know, and flags and waving and all that stuff. And they think that these young kids, you know, ooh, I guess that must be where the real news is. And they so know better. They're going to this grainy, you know, 9.5 minute YouTube of some 9-year-old kid with his camera phone, you know, doing whatever happened. And they live on that. In fact, you start seeing cable shows that are right now that are all about accumulating YouTubes and stuff on the internet, coming and making entire shows about it. But it's dogs skateboarding and stuff like that. Nobody cares about that. Well, I guess a lot of people do because they get a lot of numbers. But what's happening is an entire paradigm shift. Freedom's Phoenix, we knew this was coming. Not a doubt in our mind. A lot of us, we've been doing this a long enough period of time that we knew that here it comes. But I give you a perfect example. Sybelle Edmonds. Here is an FBI translator that was hired, like, I think September 12th. She was called because she had applied for the FBI. She had sent in, you know, I want to work with, she was born in Iran. She lived in Turkey. Her father was Turkish, had business in Iran, and then they, you know, became American citizens. They came here, whatever. So she speaks Farsi and she spoke Turkish. She had applied to the FBI. You know, I want to be a translator. I can help, or I want to do whatever the heck she wanted to do. And, of course, she's in their perma file. And when 9/11 happened, what do? First thing they do, they go through their database. Who speaks Farsi? We got these applicants. Called her. Hello, we want to activate you. And she couldn't do it full time, so they did her as a contract, whatever thing. So they go, here are wiretaps. You know, now I may be uber top of the heap FBI guy, but I don't speak Farsi, okay? I don't speak Turkish. Here, translate this stuff. As she's translating this stuff, she starts finding out a lot of stuff. And the thing that really got her in trouble and got her fired was one of the women that came into her department that was doing kind of the same thing. She knew from her translating everything that she was involved with one of the companies that was being surveilled, that her husband had business dealing there. She was being put there for a reason. They're like, oh, my goodness, we don't want them. Look, we need to get in there and kind of, you know, it doesn't say that. What would they know? So she says, look, man, this is espionage. This is, you know, I don't know who's putting her in here and why, but this is bad. You do not want her in. She's part of. Kind of they go, oh, thanks for playing. You're fired. Really? So, you know, then you get the whistleblower and wrongful termination going, trying to make a case out. And then you had the Bush administration goes, you know what? National security, you don't get to talk. Thanks for playing. I remember when this was going on, Charles Goyette, I was producing for that, and we were over at the Air America affiliate, and, you know, the libertarian, token libertarians on, progressive radio, and I tell you, we had her on as much as we could, whatever she could say or couldn't say. We had people that talked about her. We did everything we could. Sabelle called me a couple years ago, and she was freaking out. She's going, Ernie, they're never going to get this stuff out. We need to do a political solution. She and I were in disagreement. I did because she had talked to Karen Kwiatkowski, which was the colonel in the Pentagon that was there during the Office of Special Plans or whatever it was that Rumsfeld was running, him and Cheney. And she was spilling her guts. And the way she was doing that was Colonel Hackworth had a site, I think it was Military Week or something like that, and he was taking all this insider information. He's publishing it. You know, he was like the soldier's soldier, you know, kind of, you know, a heavily decorated guy in Vietnam, loved the soldiers. And so he had a lot of respect of the people in the military. She would write under a pseudonym of a male name. Well, of course, they just assumed it was a guy, and they're out looking for this guy, and she's sitting right there, and they're going, it never occurred to them because of just a chauvinist attitude that they had that it was a woman that was screwing them. And I'm going, right on, Karen. And, you know, she didn't have any interest in doing a movie or having the book or anything. She just, you know, she's a teacher now. She teaches at a university there where she lives in, I think it's around Virginia, and she just has a little horse farm thing. She's simple. Yeah, whatever. And I tell you, a very, very good libertarian. She was libertarian. She understood the proper role of government. She knew where this is going philosophically. She knew not only was it wrong, she knew what the end game was. She knew what was happening. She was the one that did the military intelligence in AfricaCom when they had, you know, or the Middle East or whatever. Now she goes, yeah, they created this AfricaCom thing. But she was her Ballywick was there in the Middle East, Northern Africa, and that kind of stuff. And she had this intelligence. She'd give it to the administration, and they come up with some speech saying something they knew was lies. She's going, oh, my goodness, they're trying to create a war. So Sabelle talks to her and is kind of, you know, what should we do? And she's going, well, you know, you talk to Ernie. You know, Ernie can give you a good beat on the landscape, political, whatever. So Sabelle calls me. I know Sabelle. And she says, we got to do a political thing. What she wanted to do is she wanted to have a political party or a wing. Or, you know, like, can we use Libertarian Party ballot status? Or can we? I mean, you can do whatever you want. But I'm telling you, you know, this political thing, that's not where it's going to be. But what she wanted to do is she wanted to take these whistleblowers. They created an organization of all these whistleblowers for them to have some kind of protection as a group. And what they were doing is all these CIA and NSA and military and people that were coming in, certainly the civilian portions of it, coming in and saying, look, we know this stuff. We know this is what I know. We accumulate the information here. Let's go, you know, kick some butt. I want to run for office. Because if you run for political office, then you have a lot more First Amendment, you know, protections, and you get the campaign and you get some coverage, and you go. And they're thinking of doing this, and it just never really worked out because, you know, they were of the opinion that when she finally got to say something like she did, you know, with this civil case that they had, what happened was there was a Congress, it was Ohio, I think it was. And there you have an incumbent congresswoman that was running for office. And there was an independent that was running against her that said, she's bought and paid for the Turkish government and this and that, and interest owned her, and they bribed her, and she's bad, and so on. And where this all came from is the resolution by the House. They were going to do something condemning the genocide after World War One of the Turkish government when they laid waste to, I don't remember, the Azerbaijani or Armenians or something. There was some other ethnic group there. So it was kind of their version of the Holocaust, you know. And this is, we get a lot of guys talking about gun control and so on. The gun rights advocates will say, you know, there's 160, 170 million people been killed by their own governments. And the first thing they do is they disarm you. You know, Stalin, Hitler, the Turkish government, they'll disarm you. Oh, you can't have guns. And they come in and lay waste to you. You know, this is kind of stuff we're talking about. So they were the Congress in pressure of somebody. You know, I bet you it's some company that a country that has some oil that we want to do business with. And they go, yeah, as soon as you, you know, say that the Turkish Empire over here is bad, you know, then you can come in and drill. I guarantee it's something like that. All right. There's always some motivation. So they are going to do this. Well, Turkey is like, oh, heck no. So they use all of their, you know, the lobbyists and their little behind the scenes kind of stuff. And what's interesting is we provide, you know, billions of dollars, each one of these countries, Turkey too. Billions of dollars the State Department goes to them. They turn around and use the money from the taxpayers to buy congressmen with. You know, that's what Israel does. But you think it's limited to them? It's all these guys. It's just, it's so corrupt. So what happened was she's listening to all these phone conversations, different people that are being taped, that are under surveillance. And all of a sudden, what happens? All these congressmen's names start coming up. She's sitting and she's going, I want to testify. I'll testify. Yeehaw. I'll give you an amen and tell you all these people. And what do? They go, oh, heck no. You're not talking to nobody. We're not going to give you a minute. If you do this and you speak, you're going in Huskow forever and a day. No habeas corpus. You know what I mean? You're done. You're Guantanamo. You sure you want to play this game? But then there was a lawsuit taken out by this congresswoman against the guy that accused her. So then they did depositions. And here comes Sybil Edmonds. All right, you put me on the stand. I'm going to tell you. And the Obama administration didn't stop her. What happened? Oh, it's good. And we'll talk about it when we come back here on Declare Your Independence with me and Ernest Hancock just a little bit.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, and Jet Lacy on the board. You know, the Sybil Edmonds thing is, and Brad Friedman is from bradblog.com. He has been following this and been her champion and making sure that as much information as possible gets out about this, because he was of the opinion that this is going to go huge. He's going, yeah, well, Ernie brings a gun, he gets all the attention. You know, I get an FBI translator that, you know, outs the corrupt Speakers of the House and everything. I get nothing. What up with that? And I'm going, yeah, what up with that? Are you starting to figure it out yet? Lamestream media, the media so last century, quit wasting your time. Screw them, man. You know, they're done. Don't even wait. Don't give them the credibility even talking to them. Heck with them. So the thing is that, you know, they're still all nutted up into that because they, you know, it's like Rachel Maddow makes it up to MSNBC and then she becomes a tool. Same thing. You know, it's the left, you know, side of this pyramid deal. Left, 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 left. You never challenge the pyramid. Never challenge the system. You never challenge the paradigm. You challenge, you know, the other guys on the other side of the pyramid. You know, you think one NFL team, you know, is going to like challenge the NFL? No, they're going to do battle on the field with their rules and their ball and their referees and their sportscasters and there. They're not going to, you know, challenge the whole thing. You know, whatever. Not that I want them to. Football season starting. Yay. So we're looking at Sybil Edmonds. She gets up and she says, let me tell you what's going on. And what was interesting is at the beginning of the first segment, we got links to it. Brad, you go to Brad's. Brad blog, BRADBLOG.com. And you go there and you'll see where they have the video of her deposition that she gave. Now, what happened is the congresswoman, she gets all indignant. Oh, I'm filing suit. They're going to bury this guy with paperwork. And he's an activist sitting back there, I guess, going, you morons. That's what we want you to do. They got their government number. So then they do a subpoena. Okay, we subpoena Sybil Edmonds. Now she's got it. She's compelled to come and testify. At the beginning of the video, and I haven't watched the whole thing yet, but there's some juicies in there. At the beginning of the video, it's a few hours, there is the attorney for the other side. He keeps objecting. He keeps objecting. And one of the big things that he wants to make very clear, and then after a while he finds, okay, well, I want to stand in objection because we'll be here all day for me objecting. But he wanted to make it very clear in the first 5 minutes or so that this subpoena, there was no intention of the state of Ohio or any of the elections department guys or anybody. Nobody was going to enforce the subpoena to compel and make Sabell come. Now, I just want it on record that, you know, even though we got a subpoena here, it's a court case and we're supposed to, we never were. Not our fault, man. We weren't going to compel her. And whoever the administration or the bad guys are going to shoot and take out, it's not me or us or we had nothing to do with it. Okay, go ahead and spill your guts. So they, I'm sorry, do you want to say something, Jeff? So what happened was, is you had Sabell finally gets to start talking. And they ask her questions, and they are generally wanting to make sure that she doesn't violate, you know, they have a big thing about methods and specific techniques and how you get the information on doing it. So she can't say, she goes, I know. Well, how do you know? Because our collection of data techniques that led me, you know, I had direct evidence of. You know, but they're not allowed to ask how. Oh, you know, because we had little, listening microfly that was, you know, buzzed around his head and landed on his shoulder or something. I mean, you don't know. Yeah, but she got the information, all right? So she is detailing this information, finally, about how all these congressmen are and how the system actually worked. In addition to them just selling out on little stuff like whether they're going to do resolutions or not, they were selling nuclear material, arms, missiles, all kinds of stuff going on. And they're going, woohoo! Do you think it might make the lamestream media? Heck no! No. On this Arctic, ship Russian thing up in the Arctic, they got other problems, big ones. We'll talk about them.